Welcome back to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. This is your Saturday Week in Review for the week ending June 20th, 2026. If I had to distill this entire week into a single sentence, it would be this. The things you trust most are the things being used against you. Your Google Workspace rules, your Salesforce OAuth tokens, your Splunk SIEM, your AI Copilot, your Fortinet perimeter. Every one of those became an attack surface this week. Not because they're broken, but because adversaries have figured out that living inside your trusted infrastructure is more effective than trying to break through it.
That's exactly the thread. So if you couldn't keep up this week, here's what mattered and what it means. We're going to cover four themes. First, the nation-state infrastructure story, which is no longer theoretical. Second, the trust chain collapse, where your own tools and integrations became the attack path. Third, AI as both a weapon and a policy battleground. And fourth, a massive acquisition that's going to reshape OT security procurement for years. Let's get into it.
So let's start with the geopolitical picture, because this was a week where three distinct stories painted a very coherent, very uncomfortable picture. Google's threat intelligence group disclosed that a China-linked group, UNC6508, had been sitting inside North American medical, academic, and defense research networks since 2023. Over a year undetected. And the tradecraft here is what matters. They got in through backdoored RedCap servers, which is a research data platform that's everywhere in clinical and academic environments. But the exfiltration method was almost elegant in its simplicity. They rewrote the victim's own Google Workspace mail forwarding rules to silently copy messages out.
And this is the part that should make every CISO uncomfortable. This isn't some exotic zero-day chain. This is a configuration chain in a productivity suite that most security teams aren't monitoring with the granularity required to catch it. How many of your organizations are auditing Google Workspace mail routing rules as part of your threat detection program? I'd bet the number is vanishingly small. And if you're in a sector that touches defense research, clinical trials, anything with dual-use implications, this is your threat model right now.
The same day that story was developing, NCSC CEO Richard Horn gave a speech at RUSI that was remarkably blunt for a sitting intelligence chief. He said, and I'm paraphrasing only slightly, that kinetic targeting in any future conflict will be based on intelligence gathered today, and that nation-state adversaries are actively pre-positioning inside British critical infrastructure. 75% of consequential attacks on UK critical infrastructure are now attributed to nation-states, three quarters.
And he wasn't being abstract. He was directly telling business leaders to fundamentally rethink how they protect critical infrastructure. This is the kind of language that should show up in your next board presentation verbatim. When the head of the UK's National Cyber Center is saying that adversaries are already inside positioning for future conflict, that reframes your resilience investment from cybersecurity spending to national security preparedness. Those are different budget conversations.
And then to round out the picture, we had an Iran-linked group called Hendala claiming a breach at a major California water utility. The utility confirmed it's investigating. This follows the pattern we've been tracking for 2 years now, Iranian actors targeting U.S. water and energy infrastructure. These aren't espionage operations. These are capability demonstrations. They're proving they can reach civilian infrastructure, and they want us to know it.
The bright spot in this theme was Operation Endgame. Dutch, Canadian, German, and U.S. law enforcement took down 106 servers tied to Evil Corp's Sock Golish botnet and remediated nearly 15,000 compromised WordPress sites. Sock Golish was a major initial access broker, feeding ransomware affiliates, so this is meaningful disruption. But I want to be clear about what this is and isn't. This is a temporary setback for one operation. The infrastructure will reconstitute. The value here is the intelligence gathered and the signal it sends that law enforcement is willing to invest in sustained disruption campaigns.
Agreed. And CISOs should use this moment practically. Audit your web supply chain for SOC Golish indicators. Check your WordPress-based vendor estates. The 15,000 compromised sites that were cleaned up had been serving malicious redirects, and some of them were probably in your users' browsing paths.
Let's move to what I'm calling the trust chain collapse, because this was the week it became undeniable that third-party integrations and your own security tools are the primary attack surface. The Clue incident is Exhibit A. A threat actor group called Icarus stole OAuth tokens from Clue, a competitive intelligence platform, and used those tokens to access customer Salesforce environments. Salesforce killed the integration entirely. And here's the number that should alarm you. This is the third Salesforce-connected app compromised via OAuth token abuse this year. Third.
The pattern is clear, and it's not going away. Your Salesforce instance doesn't get breached directly. It gets breached through the 20, 30, 50 OAuth-connected apps that have persistent access to your CRM data. And most security teams have no inventory of those connections, let alone monitoring on what they're accessing. If you haven't done a full OAuth app audit on Salesforce, ServiceNow, and your other critical SaaS platforms, this is the week you start.
The Texas Parks and Wildlife breach follows the same pattern at the government level. 3 million driver's licenses and passport records exposed, not through the state agency's own systems, but through a third-party licensing vendor. The vendor was the weak link. And this is the challenge for any CISO supporting government contracts or holding identity-critical data. Your security posture is only as strong as your least mature vendor.
And then Novo Nordisk got breached via a leaked GitHub token that gave attackers access to their development pipeline. Dark Reading's framing was exactly right. This is an identity governance problem, not a developer tooling problem. Secrets management has been treated as something the engineering team handles with their own tools, and it needs to be pulled into the CISO's identity governance program. The same week, we saw 145 compromised Mostra NPM packages. The supply chain is under coordinated pressure.
Now let's talk about the vulnerabilities that hit this week, because two of them are genuinely hair on fire. 40bleed. Russian-speaking actors have compromised 86,644 FortiGate devices in an active campaign. CISA issued an emergency advisory. And in the same week, three FortiSandbox CVEs came under active exploitation. This looks like coordinated targeting of Fortinet's entire product line. If you're running Fortinet on your perimeter, this is an emergency patching and credential reset event. Full stop.
And then there's CVE 2026-2025-3. Unauthenticated remote code execution in Splunk Enterprise, confirmed exploited in the wild. I want to let that sink in. Splunk, your SIM, the thing that's supposed to be watching everything. It has an unauthenticated RCE that attackers are actively exploiting. CISA ordered federal agencies to patch by June 21st, which is tomorrow. That's almost no runway. If you're running Splunk Enterprise, assume you're in scope and act accordingly.
This connects directly to Jordan's opening point. When your security monitoring platform itself becomes the attack vector, the trust assumptions underlying your entire detection architecture need to be re-examined.
Which brings us to AI, and this was a big week on multiple fronts. Let's start with the attacks. Microsoft researchers documented AutoJack, which is the first publicly documented exploit chain that turns an AI browsing agent into a remote code execution vector. A malicious web page's JavaScript hijacks the agent, reaches a privileged local service, and spawns a process on the host. No credentials required, no further user interaction after the page loads. If you're deploying agentic AI for business process automation, this is the attack you need to model against.
And Varonis disclosed SearchLeak, a one-click exfiltration chain against Microsoft 365 Copilot Enterprise Search. A victim clicks what looks like a legitimate Microsoft.com URL, Copilot searches their mailbox, and data gets exfiltrated via a Bing server-side request forgery. Traditional anti-phishing tools couldn't catch it because the domain was legitimate. These two disclosures, combined with the bank info security research showing most enterprises can't even track what their AI agents are accessing, paint a very clear picture. We are deploying AI with human-level permissions and zero human-level judgment, and our existing IAM and PAM controls were never designed for this.
On the policy front, the Trump administration placed export controls on Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5, which are cybersecurity-focused AI models. Dozens of CISOs and security researchers signed an open letter calling this dangerous to defenders. The argument is straightforward. Offensive AI capabilities will proliferate regardless, and restricting the models that defenders use for vulnerability discovery and secure code review just creates asymmetry that favors attackers. If you run a multinational security program, this is a regulatory risk you need to be tracking, because it will determine which AI tools your global teams can deploy.
And for the market-moving story of the week, Accenture announced a $4.18 billion deal to acquire a majority stake in Dragos and full ownership of RunZero and NetRise. This is the largest OT security acquisition in the industry's history, and it's happening at exactly the moment when critical infrastructure attacks are surging. If you're a Dragos, RunZero, or NetRise customer, expect product roadmap changes, support model changes, and likely a push towards Accenture's managed services wrapper. Start planning for that conversation now.
The timing is not coincidental. Accenture is reading the same threat landscape we just walked through. Nation-states pre-positioning in critical infrastructure, Iranian actors hitting water utilities, coordinated campaigns against network perimeter devices. OT security just became a $4 billion bet by one of the world's largest consulting firms.
So, stepping back, what defined this week? I think it's the collapse of implicit trust. Every story we covered, from Google Workspace forwarding rules to Salesforce OAuth tokens to Splunk and Fortinet to AI agents acting with user permissions, the common thread is that attackers are exploiting the trust we place in our own tools and integrations. The perimeter isn't just the firewall anymore. It's every API connection, every OAuth token, every AI agent, every configuration rule in every SaaS platform.
And the uncomfortable corollary is that your detection architecture was built on the assumption that your own tools are trustworthy. When the SIM has an unauthenticated RCE, when the AI copilot is an exfiltration path, when the firewall vendor's entire product line is under coordinated attack, you need to rethink what you're trusting and why. Going into next week, I'd prioritize three things. Audit every OAuth integration on your critical SaaS platforms. Verify your Fortinet and Splunk patching status as of today. And start the conversation with your board about what the NCSC's pre-positioning warning means for your resilience investment.
Well said. The Daily Show returns Monday. All the stories we referenced today, with links and context, are at cleartext.fm. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us.
Stay sharp. See you Monday.